excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this Northwestern edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the road home. Well, it's a new era in Cal football. Last we spoke in the podcast, Jeff Tedford was on the hot seat and probably on the way out. And sure enough, in the offseason, they replaced him with Sonny Dykes. And so today was our first chance to get a look at his system and to see where he's taking this team. And although it ended up being a loss, and I guess I should walk through a quick recap of the game, overall I felt like there's a lot of promise for the future. Quick recap, Bears came out, got the ball to start the game, scored a touchdown on their opening drive, ending the drive with a fake field goal attempt where they tossed the ball over their shoulder, and then the kicker of all people actually threw a pass to the holder. A pretty ingenious little play, and to some degree actually reminded me of an early play in Tedford's tenure where in the first game, he had a halfback pass to start off the first game against Baylor. And it seems like the tradition lives of having a trick play up your sleeve for early in your first game. Win over some Cal fans who have become a little accustomed to the drudgery of the prior regime. But unfortunately, Northwestern was able to match that touchdown fairly quickly. Bears were having a tough time picking up their pass assignments, and it went back and forth a little bit until a key play later in the game where a tipped ball by Cal's quarterback Jared Goff was tipped up in the air to a linebacker, I believe, for Northwestern, who ran it back, gave them their first meaningful lead of the second half. The score going into halftime was 10-7, but then the Bears managed to get down and, I'm forgetting some of the details at this point. But in any case, what doomed the Bears was two different interceptions for touchdowns, kind of put the game in a more desperate situation than a late interception by Jared Goff trying to get the ball down the field, pretty much sealed their fate when Northwestern was able to bring the ball back and score a final touchdown. Final score, 44-30, Northwestern. And in a lot of ways, the game matched my pregame blog post where I said I didn't think this Northwestern team was unbeatable. I thought actually they were probably more mediocre than people thought, but that the new scheme and the inexperience of the Bears would just mean too many mistakes that would end up piling up. That despite feeling a sense of promise and hope and good things for the future, that in the end the little mistakes would be the difference against a team with so many returning starters who was unlikely to make a lot of mistakes. And to some degree that's what we saw. We saw a Cal team actually that appeared to me to be more talented, to have a brighter future, but was the one making the mistakes against a fairly polished, yet overall not that overly impressive Northwestern team. So let's break things down kind of position by position, starting with the quarterback. Jared Goff is an amazing talent. I thought he played incredibly well as a true freshman. I know early enroller, went through spring practice, and that makes a huge difference. It makes him totally different than what people think of when I think of most true freshman QBs. But his poise, his accuracy, the number of balls he was fitting into tough places, whether or not he was planted or running, his general decision-making, overall that did not look like a even redshirt freshman quarterback playing in his first game, much less a true freshman early enrollee. I just can't say enough positive things about it. I think, I mean, obviously we won't know how good the other quarterbacks were unless Goff gets injured, because obviously he cemented his role today. But I thought he did an exceptional job. He really only made one big mistake, and that was that late pass well down the field to Harper, where it actually was not a bad idea. He just didn't realize that the safety was going to be able to close the gap. And actually, he just barely was able to. So it wasn't a horrible decision. It was later in the game. You start to make a little bit more risky chances late in the game to try to catch up. And unfortunately, it was an interception. But the other two interceptions, one was a tipped ball off the line of scrimmage. Nearly impossible to hold that against him. And the other interception that went for a touchdown was a case of the receiver dropping the ball. In fact, there were a lot of dropped balls. I actually think probably Goff's completion percentage was probably pretty good tonight. I don't have the stats in front of me, but they would have been better if it weren't for the dropped balls. There were just a few things that killed offensive rhythm that made it so that this was a 30-point night, not a 45- or 50-point night. One was false start penalties. A lot of false start penalties tonight. Always a drive killer, particularly when you have a couple of them. Really hurt the Bears. Another one was the dropped balls by the wide receivers. They made some really good catches for other reasons. There's a lot of reasons to be hopeful about the unit. Seems like there's a lot of guys with talent, with speed, with tackle breaking ability that was very impressive. But they just didn't seem to be doing the best at catching the balls. And for the most part, Goff was doing a great job of laying the balls in there. There were a few cases where he maybe threw it a bit hard or something like that. But overall, it was the receiver's fault. And it really hurts a drive. Another thing that was kind of hit and miss. There were times where the offensive line was doing a great job of opening holes for the running backs, and there were other times, like the first drive, actually did exceptionally well. But there were a lot of times, actually, and I think they probably got more tired than the Northwestern defensive line did, and over time, less and less of those holes were opening up. So I am a little concerned about the offensive line in run-blocking situations, of their ability to constantly open holes. But actually, pass protection, they did very well. Goff did not find himself pressured all that often. They did a pretty good job of making a pocket for him. I think there were only one or two sacks, and part of that was Goff doing a good job of knowing when to get rid of the ball, again, showing his experience or his play beyond his experience, beyond his years. But another part of it was the offensive line did a pretty good job of picking up the guys that were coming at him and giving Goff some time, or at a minimum some time to realize that the offensive line was overloaded and getting rid of the ball. So kind of a mixed performance for the offensive line, considering how young they are. I think it's a positive. And in the future, they will be doing much better. But at least today, the run blocking was a little bit of a concern, made the team a little bit one-dimensional, which kind of leads me into my overall thoughts about Sonny Dykes' scheme. A lot of horizontal passing to the sidelines, a lot of quick dumps here and there. And I think that's fine. That's good. Seemed like there was a bit too many of them that had the risk of the pick six scenario, and the quarterback's going to be very careful of understanding which players can come up and make those plays. But it seemed to me that the key to the offense was forcing the secondary to play them balanced. And when the team did well was when they mixed in some downfield passing to go along with the dumps and dinks. It also seemed to take some pressure off of the run game and give them some more holes. But after the first couple drives, it seemed like Northwestern was pulling up and tightening up and taking away those. And I don't know if it was just Goff wasn't yet ready. Maybe Dykes even had a little bit of restriction on him early in the game of not wanting him to throw over the top. But once they started to, the offense came alive. And I felt like actually late in the game, later in the game, end of the third quarter, early fourth quarter, we seemed to get back into that rut again of not going over the top often enough. But then they went back to it at some point, although albeit a little bit late. So it really feels like there's a need for that balance, but overall feels like a good scheme, lots of diversity, lots of speed, and all of that. Defensively, however, I was much, much more concerned. It just felt like particularly the secondary, was never in the right defense at the right time. When they went man, they were putting the corners on islands with absolutely no help, and Northwestern was able to abuse that. There were other times they went zone coverage, and it just felt like it was a play where the quarterback could just pick apart the zones with ease. And I think part of that was that the defensive line was not getting a lot of pressure. There were some moments they were, but overall, quarterback was able to sit back there and make his reads and keep his uniform clean. And I think in the 4-3, you have to be disruptive at the line of scrimmage to be successful in modern college football. And I was not seeing that today. I think you have a better shot with a 3-4 of still maintaining without a disruptive defensive line, because you have that one more body in coverage or to do something different. But in a 4-3, you're really bound and you need to get that pressure. And the fact that they were having trouble with Northwestern gives me great pause, particularly when you combine that with their young secondary, some questionable scheme calls on the secondary that trouble me is just seeing you not being very situationally aware of what they need. You know, there were plays that it was third and 13, and you knew they were probably going to pass the ball, yet they were putting the corners on islands, and it ends up being an easy completion on a button hook, where there's just nothing the corner can do to protect that, because he also has to carry the deep route, and you're not doing a cover two or something like that. So defense worries me a bit. Defense, I feel like, to some degree, we're getting a little bit of a Big Ten defense that's not ready to compete in the very diverse Pac-12. Maybe we'll see some changes there or something, but I just didn't get a real warm fuzzy. The other thing I didn't get a real warm fuzzy on from them was tackling. Seemed like a lot of missed tackles. Hopefully in practice this week they get back to some fundamentals on tackling. But there were a lot of times where there should have been a dead play, should have been over, should have had a guy on the ground, and they ended up busting it for a big run. That last drive to end the game was very disappointing. We knew they were going to run it up the middle, or at least we should have. Everyone in the stands did. They knew that's what they were going to do, and yet somehow they were able to bust big runs up the middle, partially because of not bringing the guys in there to make the tackle, and partially due to bad tackling. And so that was really worrisome to me as well. It just didn't feel real good. Hopefully, as I said, they start to do some more tackling drills. What was interesting was there were also some great open field tackles, some great individual efforts, things that gave me a lot of hope about the talent level of this defense. I saw a lot of very talented plays out of them, but mostly I saw some bad fundamentals and also some scheme stuff that worries me. I just didn't see a lot. I mean, I wrote a post a week or two ago now about the things I was looking for. I didn't see any of them. I didn't see interesting placement with the outside linebackers. I didn't see defensive linemen pulling up and doing something interesting to keep the quarterback off balance. I didn't see very disruptive play in the backfield by the defensive line. I didn't see creative use of the safeties, you know, other than just kind of bringing them in for run support. All things that just make me feel we're looking at kind of run-of-the-mill 4-3, which is not going to get it done in the Pac-12. So I think that worries me a lot. A couple other thoughts. very interesting to see the turn of fan approval / disapproval of injuries. All of a sudden we are mimicking Oregon and booing players who are injured from the other team. And while there was some stuff I saw today that did look a little eyebrow-raising as far as how frequently guys were going down for Northwestern, I very much stand by my general principle of not booing. We really don't know. Let those things work themselves out. Let the press investigate them. They will. It's a great headline grabber. But it's just not right. There's no reason to boo a player who at least may be injured. Even if they are faking it on other ones, you don't know at that moment in that time that guy isn't faking. And he doesn't need that. He's out there playing a game, trying to work his way through his scholarship requirements and all of that. And he doesn't need people booing at him when he's legitimately injured. So at least that's my perspective. I'd hope that most people would agree with me. Even though it is frustrating to see that. But I think it works itself out. You know, the accusations around Oregon, people cleaned up real quick because nobody wanted to be on the other side of that. And it's hard to act. It's hard to, as we showed in 2010, it's very easily, you know, rooted out when people are doing that sort of thing. So, you know, it'll solve itself and there's no reason to boo. But very different perspective. Also, they only showed it once on the big screen, but boy, it sure looks like that best pseudo touchdown that was called back, that his body never touched the ground. Maybe there was some angle that they had in the replay booth and they showed on TV that we didn't see in the stands, but from the one they showed us, it looked pretty dang clean. So I'm going to be interested to see that on film this week. Which brings me to a related complaint. It is just absolutely ridiculous that they are hiding these replays, refusing to show them at the stadium. We're going to boo either way. It doesn't matter. It's not going to rile up the crowd. I mean, yeah, I guess there's certain scenarios where the board operator could be doing that or accused of doing that. But you know what? If you just show a replay every play, and you know, when it's a tougher one, you show two or three angles and just leave it at that. It is what it is. Either the refs are making a good call or they're not. They shouldn't be afraid of us looking at their calls and reviewing them. If anything, the mystery around hiding it, I think, heightens the sense that something's not right and that the calls aren't going our way. And I know this isn't a decision being made at Cal's level. I think it's either a Pac-12, it might even be an NCAA rule. But it's just ridiculous. Show us the plays. We're paying money to come watch the games. Show us the plays. They show them on TV. They should show them in the stands. It's just not right. And I guess I'm the type of guy who has to shout into the wind a lot because this one really is starting to bug me more and more as time goes on. Other thoughts? Special teams were not great, not bad. You know, one of the things that we had when we had some really good returners is their ability to be moving the right way as soon as they get the ball. And I did not see that today from Muhammad in kickoffs. He was always on his heel, always going backwards when he caught the ball. And it's just that half second before he can start going forward that it costs you. You're not moving the right way at the right time. You really want to be behind the ball and sprinting up on it and catching it and accelerating away. DeSean Jackson, our best returner, was excellent at that. And he would even play little tricks with it, going side to one side of the ball and then running through it sideways. So he was already moving sideways when he caught the ball. And it would have the guys in the wrong place as they were trying to come tackle him. Our kickoff return man could make use of that understanding that you need to be already heading the right way, not on your back heel catching that ball. Punting, Leniger's legs getting stronger. He had the one shank, but you know what? He was trying to lay that ball in you know, the 5 to 10 yard line. And it's a little harder to do that than people think. It's hard to take a little bit off and not take everything off, which is what he ended up doing on that shank. But other times he did a great job of dropping the ball at the 7 yard line and the and putting it high in the air so his guys were able to be there and down it before it went into the end zone. So punting I actually felt very good about. Very good coverage, very good punts. Leniger had one or two that were really long as well. He's no anger, but he is doing quite well. Pretty happy with him. Same goes for field goal kicking. D'Amato is, grown into a pretty reliable kicker over time. He had that one real bad game against Ohio State. Rest of the season was pretty strong. Looked great today. Almost becoming automatic, and he's got a big leg, more than Tavecchio had, that's for sure. You know, putting the ball in the back of the end zone on kickoffs. So pretty happy with him as well. Kickoff coverage was a little bit more mediocre. It looks like there were some holes that I think there's going to be one or two run backs for a touchdown this year if they don't clean things up and get their gap assignments a little bit better. But not horrible. And then, of course, the fake field goal for a touchdown, that trickery. Nice to see that there were have that sort of emphasis on special teams to have a little bit something extra for those moments when they need it. So that was a good thing to see. But I think the kickoff coverage was the weakest thing I saw. And actually, now that I think about it, Leniger hooking two balls out of bounds on kickoffs was not the best thing either. But I'm sure he'll get that cleaned up. But just to kind of loop back to the overall picture, I see a lot of promise. This defense, although not great, I don't think is horrible. I think there's enough talent on the team, and that probably with some improvements, they'll be able to keep us around. But it's going to be one of these things where the offense is going to have to score points. We're not going to be able to win games, 20-17 with this defense. We need to win them by scoring 35-40. Plus points, because the defense just isn't that good. I mean, to some degree, final score is 44. There was 14 free points in there that wasn't the defense's fault. So that's 30. But still, you sure would like to see them be able to hold things a little bit lower. There, again, that last drive was really disheartening from a effort standpoint, from a not being aware of the situation. I don't have a real warm feeling there, but the overall thing is there's enough talent that, and it's not a horrible scheme and whatnot, that I think it will keep us in games if we can, the offense can be as productive as it's possible. And it does feel like an offense that has a lot of potential. Saw some hiccups today, but hiccups that are very solvable. As I said, Goff was incredible today, far beyond my expectations. There's going to be a lot of tough games this season. The team that played today, with the effort they played today and the mistakes that they had today, will not beat Oregon, will not beat Ohio State, will not beat Stanford. With how USC's playing, I think we could beat them. Oregon State lost to Eastern Washington, so they're quite beatable. There's some wins out there, but this team is not going to compete, at least the way they're playing today, at an elite level. However, there's a lot of season for them to improve, a lot of time for them to work out the kinks, and I really do think there's some potential there. So, and we'll find out a little bit more, not really next week. Next week, I think, is a good week for them to work on these little mistakes, work on these little problems, work on the consistency on the receptions. But in 2 weeks with Ohio State, I don't completely rule out the possibility of an upset there. Again, Ohio State's, we hung with them last year. we might just be able to pull the upset at home. It would take a better performance than we saw tonight, but they could have a better performance if they clean things up. And with that, I think I'm going to wrap things up. Thanks, as always, for listening. We'll do this again next week after Portland State, and go Bears. On the road again.